Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
Welcome to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books written by Asian and Asian American authors. We also bring you the latest in book news, new releases, and interviews. My name is Marvin Yue.
And I'm Rira Yu.
And yeah, how's it going?
Well, I just finished The Leavers by Lisa Coe, and it was amazing. It's nice. Unbelievably good, and I'm excited because she's coming to Pasadena tomorrow. And
awesome.
I hope I can ask her some questions in person.
Yeah, we should definitely try to get her on the pod too to talk about her book. As we're recording this, there is a Maureen Gu book signing and Q&A at Romans in Pasadena about her book, I believe in a thing called Love. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the K-drama book.
yeah, about a girl who tries to follow the rules of K-drama romance and failing epically. I heard it's a very funny book, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working on through a, I received an advance review copy of Warcross, which is Marie Lu's new book that's coming out later this year. So, I'm gonna work my way through it, hopefully pass it on to Rira, and then maybe we can chat about our thoughts in a future episode. But, man, I'm doing reading outside of our monthly book.
I am impressed that you're reading more than one book right now.
Well, hopefully, we'll find some more books to read, through our new releases. In this episode, we're going to talk about the news and new releases of the month of June. Rira's been hard at work, pulling all the news and new releases.
Don't say all, because I'm sure I missed some.
And yeah, thanks to everyone who caught the ones that we missed last month and let us know via Twitter and social media. We appreciate it. And we're going to highlight the ones that we missed last month. May is just a big month.
May was a big month. May was our month, you know. All the Asian books came out that month.
Yeah.
I missed a couple of big books.
Yeah, you missed the Murakami.
I was so ashamed of myself. I was like, how can I miss a Murakami book?
It's all right. It's all good, but thank you so much for engaging with us and letting us know. And it's great to always get feedback from you guys as well. So keep tabs on us, I guess. Rira does run a lot of our social media on Facebook and Twitter, so make sure to give her props for keeping all of us updated on. I don't think I've been as in touch with the Asian American literary scene before, like, following our Twitter feed.
That's the goal.
But yeah, now we're into the month of June. The June Books and Boba book club pick, of course, is All of the Above by I.W. Gregorio.
No, it's None of the Above.
None of the Above.
Yeah.
It's None of the Above by I.W. Gregorio. You can get that book now on Amazon. Also, check out our Amazon store. You can find the link in our show notes.
Yeah, we have a store now.
Yeah, if you want to, throw a couple cents our way when you buy books, please use our store. As always, we're going to be talking about that book at the end of the month, with our book club discussion podcast episode. And for those of you who can't make it to our book club, but would like to contribute talking points, please send us your thoughts on our Goodreads forums. You can find the Books and Boba Goodreads group by going to goodreads.com and searching Books and Boba. And on that note, well, before we get to the month of June, let's talk about the books we missed in the month of May.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
So at the top of our list for missed May releases, we have Rich People Problems by Kevin Kwan, published by Doubleday. And it's the third installment of the Crazy Rich Asian series. It follows the shenanigans of the Shang Yun clan and their fight to stake a claim on the matriarch's massive fortune.
So this is the finale of the Rich People, Rich Asians trilogy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what happened in the second book because I've only read the first book. Mm. But judging by what I know from the first book, I'm guessing that things escalate and people do, soap opera-esque things. You know how, Asian families can get? We get overdramatic sometimes.
I have the first book. I haven't started on it yet. It's on my to-read pile, so we're probably going to read it for the book club,
As the movie gets closer, yeah.
So yeah, looking forward to that. Another book that came out last month that we didn't get to was Chemistry by Weiqi Wang, published by Knopf, a coming-of-age novel about a young Chinese-American scientist who must recalibrate her life when her academic career goes off track. And this is a book that you're reading for your other group, right?
No, I'm actually subscribed to Book of the Month. We are not sponsored by Book of the Month, but I use the subscription service as a way for me to get, whenever they have a book by an Asian author, usually I click on it.
Nice.
Just because I want to accumulate more books by Asian authors. And this month was Chemistry, and I've heard great things about it. It's had, a lot of buzz since, last year, so I'm pretty excited to read it.
Yeah.
And the Murakami book that I missed last month was Men Without Women. And again, that's by Haruki Murakami, published by Knopf. And it's a collection of 7 short stories that follows different middle-aged men who have lost a woman in their lives, either to other men or to death. Mm. So, I think this was published a year or two ago in Japan, and they finally got around to translating it.
Yeah, it takes a while for them to translate from Japanese books, right?
Yeah.
Usually.
Well, I would rather have a good translation rather than something that was rushed and kind of haphazard.
That's true. I've actually never read a Murakami book, so.
There's a couple on our list, so.
Boundless by Jillian Tamaki, published by Drawn and Quarterly, also came out last month. Boundless is a collection of comics that explore the virtual and real world of contemporary women through both a fantastical and realistic lens.
So Jillian Tamaki, she was the illustrator for the graphic novel Skim, which was written by Mariko Tamaki, and that's their cousins. And I would definitely recommend reading that for this month because it's Pride Month, and Skim features an Asian American girl who happens to be lesbian. So,
okay,
great book for this month if you guys want some extra reading. And next on our list is How to Write Good by Ryan Higa, and it's published by Little Brown Books for young readers.
Is this one of those? Because I know a lot of YouTubers are now writing books.
Yes, it is. It is a book about how Ryan Higa got into YouTube, right? And career advice. It's like half how-to and half memoir.
Well, he is one of the biggest YouTubers in the world, so that's probably probably interesting.
It reached the Amazon bestsellers list within an hour or so. It was pretty amazing.
Awesome. This is his first book too, right?
It's his first book.
Oh, well, it's about time. Finally, our last missed book is Noteworthy by Riley Redgate, published by Amulet Books, a contemporary YA novel about a Chinese-American performing arts student who lives a double life as a theater girl and a cross-dressing a cappella boy. Oh.
So think Pitch Perfect with gender bender.
Mulan Pitch Perfect.
Mulan Pitch Perfect? Okay. I dig it.
Pitch Perfect with Mulan. Oh, well, yeah.
I heard that the protagonist is bisexual, so that's another great book for this month.
Yeah. And those were the books that we didn't get to last month, that came out last month. So if any of those sound interesting to you guys, please check it out. I think we're going to try to add these books also to our bookstore as well.
Yep.
So if you want to grab these books through the Books and Bulba Amazon bookstore and throw us a few cents per purchase, that would be super appreciated. Again, the link will be in the show notes. I should set up a bit.ly too.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And with those out of the way, now we're going to talk about the actual new releases of the month of June. So these are books that are scheduled to come out or have already come out for the month of June. Again, if we miss anything, please let us know on the Goodreads forums or via Twitter, and we'll make sure to make a note next month or in a future episode this month.
All right, let's get to it. So first on our list is Dear Cyborg by Eugene Lim. It released on June 6th, and it was published by FSG Originals. And the plot goes, in a small Midwestern town, two Asian American boys bond over their outcast status and a mutual love of comic books. Meanwhile, in an alternative or perhaps future universe, a team of superheroes ponders modern society during their time off. Between black op missions and rescuing hostages, they swap stories of artistic malaise and muse on the seemingly inescapable grip of market economics.
Cool. Also released on June 6th is Lonesome Lies Before Us by Don Lee, published by W.W. Norton Company. Yaden Park is a talented alt-country musician whose career has floundered, doomed first by his lack of stage presence and then by his progressive hearing disorder. He now works for his girlfriend's father's carpet laying company in California. When Yaden's former lover and musical partner, the celebrated Mallory Wicks, comes back into his life, all their most private hopes and desires are exposed. Their secret fantasies about love and success put them to the test. So like a romantic drama?
Yeah, maybe. I don't want to say.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I mean, especially the alt-country musician part as a director for collaboration, that really it speaks to me.
Next, we have So Much I Want to Tell You, Letters to My Little Sister by Anna Akana. It releases on June 13th and it's published by Ballantine Books. In So Much I Want to Tell You, YouTube star Anna Akana opens up about her own struggles with poor self-esteem, offers candid advice on finding love and chasing your passions, and reveals both the highs and lows of adulthood. Dedicated to her late sister and to every other girl who must learn that growing up can be hard to do, Akana's essays break things down in a way that only a big sister can.
It's interesting. I've heard Anna talk a lot about her sister's suicide, but mostly through her stand-up. So I'm kind of interested to see how it looks on, like, it seems like a more grounded and real discussion.
Yeah, I've actually read Anna's, I wouldn't say unpublished, but it was like published through the internet, and mm-hmm. It was like pages from her diary during her grief of her sister of losing her sister, and that was very interesting to read. So I'm guessing that this book combines that along with like advice that wisdom that she's gained from working on YouTube and her own creative endeavors.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's going to be wrapped in her trademark like dark comic sensibilities.
Yeah, her comedy is very dark.
Next up is Saints and Misfits by S.K. Ali, releases on June 13th, published by Salam Reads. This is the imprint by Simon Schuster, right? Mm-hmm. Sophomore Yana, don't quote me on that, Yusuf is caught between her Muslim faith and the parts that clash with it. Her non-practicing father, her crush Jeremy, who isn't Muslim, and the pious boy from her mosque who attempts to sexually assault her at a party. Everything comes to a head when her aggressor tries to publicly shame her in her tight-knit Muslim community, and Jana learns what it means to be a saint, a misfit, or a monster.
And next we have Raven Stratagem by Yunha Lee. It also releases on June 13th, and it is published by Solaris Books. In the sequel to The Nine Fox Gambit, young Captain Kel Karras, or Sharis, is possessed by the long-dead traitor Shuas Jadao. After summoning his spirit in an attempt to stop a fresh incursion by the enemy Hafna. God, this is a fantasy book, so like...
Hafen.
Now General Kel Karras' fleet seems to be under Jadao's sway, and only one of the crew members, Lieutenant Colonel Kel Brezen, seems to be able to resist the influence of the rogue ghost. Jadao claims to be defending the Hexacate? I don't know. Sorry, let me try that again.
Jadao, wait, there must be some sort of recording of the author like reading these names,
I know,
right?
This is why audiobooks are so important. Okay, Jadao claims to be defending the Hexacate, but Ken Brezen trusts him. For that matter, will the Hexarchate's masters wipe out the entire fleet to destroy Jadao? So, sci-fi, fantasy.
I'm sure for those fans of the Nine Fox Gambit,
that made
total sense.
I apologize. But it is a sequel to Nine Fox Gambit, and I've heard great things about that book. Yeah. So, check it out.
So, it's like a sci-fi. I can't tell if it's a space thing.
It's a space thing. Okay. No, it's like definitely a space thing.
Okay. Next up is Want by Cindy Pond, releases on June 13th, published by Simon Pulse. Set in a near-future polluted Taipei, Want follows Jason Zhao, who survives in a divided society where only the rich can buy suits, protecting them from the viruses that plague the city. With the help of his friends, Jason infiltrates the wealthy in hopes of destroying the Jin Corporation, which not only manufactures the special suits the rich rely on, but may also be manufacturing the pollution that makes them necessary. Cool, so like a Robin Hood? Future Taiwanese Robin Hood? Or like, I don't know.
It sounds really cool, though.
Yeah.
And the cover looks awesome.
Yeah.
Next is Kingsway West, Volume 1, written by Greg Pak, illustrated by Mirko Kolick and Will Quintana. Releases on June 13th and is published by Dark Horse. And the summary goes, after 13 years in prison, a Chinese gunslinger named Kingsway Law just wants to find his wife. But in a fantastical American Old West crackling with magic, monsters, and racist vigilantes, trouble just won't leave him be. And in this case, trouble is a woman with a magic sword who needs his help.
I've heard a lot about this series. I actually haven't had a chance to take a look at it. But Greg Pak, of course, is the guy behind the totally awesome Hulk, which is
Amadeus
Cho's version, which is the Korean Hulk. And he's been really good at including Asian American culture and perspectives in those comics. This is his independent series that he publishes with Dark Horse. And I remember this when he was creating this, he also asked a lot of his friends to create songs for the characters.
So
Go Nakamura, Jane Louie all have tracks that are affiliated with characters in the story. So I'm actually really excited that Volume 1 is coming out because I was eventually going to like track down all the different issues, but if it's all going to be in one book, I might as well get that.
It's like nice because it's a Western, but you have a Chinese character.
Yeah.
So.
Hell yeah.
And last on our list. Oh, sorry. Is this your?
You can take it.
Okay.
Go for it. Yeah.
And last on our list is Girl on the Verge by Pintip Dunn, releases on June 27th, and it's published by Kensington. In her small Kansas town at her predominantly white school, Khan doesn't look like anyone else. But at home, her Thai grandmother chides her for being too westernized. When her mother brings home Shelley, a white girl in need, Khan does what she can to welcome her to a small family of Thai immigrants. At first, her new housemate is eager to please, embracing the family's Thai traditions, and clearly looking up to Khan. Perhaps too much. As Khan's growing discomfort compels her to investigate Shelley's past, she's shocked to find how much it intersects with her own, and just how far Shelley will go to belong.
Ooh.
So it sounds like a thriller.
It's like a thriller, but like reverse. Kind of like, what was that Matt Damon movie? The Talented Mr. Ripley?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
But like
it.
With a white, like the white girl. I don't know.
You know what this kind of reminds me of? Get Out. Like the beginning, the first act, it's just like, we want to be you.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah? I'm interested.
And that wraps up our new releases
for June. Thanks to Reba for putting that together.
Thank you, Twitter. And thank you, people who tweet out book news that I follow.
Yeah. Moving on to new book news. Here are the latest headlines since the last month. Starting with new Joy Luck Club news. Ellen DeGeneres is apparently developing a TV series based on Amy Tan's critically acclaimed novel, The Joy Luck Club. Producers sent out a casting call for a professionally diverse group of Chinese-American-born women, ages 26 to 34 years old, in the San Francisco area, to discuss their lives as a Chinese-American female in today's society. The project will take place on June 20th in San Francisco. So is this a casting call or is this just like a focus?
See, group? I'm not sure because it wasn't very clear.
Yeah.
Like at first I thought, oh, they're making like a new Joy Luck Club movie, but I don't think that's what the project is anymore.
I took a look at the casting call and it seemed like
I don't know. They might use the Joliet Club branding, but it's based on the Joliet Club, but it's going to set it in the modern world.
Okay. Because
the Joliet Club took place like in the, like, I want to say late 80s, early 90s.
Let's see. I think the book was published in 89, and I think the movie came out in, like, 93.
So like, early 90s.
Early 90s, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So it's the Chinese-American experience, Asian-American experience in general since then has changed a lot, especially with the advent of technology, social media, Tinder, things like that, yeah.
I'm just, like, curious because the casting call is for people, for researchers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a focus group, but at the same time, I'm like,
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they want to find out how life is like for Chinese American professional women these days, because if anything, that'll lead to more authenticity to the final product. And, you know, Ellen DeGeneres, being a prominent LGBT person, her being attached to this project does lead to the, at least the hope that it will be authentic.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I think I shared on the Books and Boba's Facebook page, but it was like a long feature article by BuzzFeed News. Mm. I think the writer was Susan Cheng. But it's a very in-depth look at how...
About the original film.
About the original film and how it got made and how many obstacles it had to go, pass to get it made.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about the actual content of the Joliet Club. Obviously, it's been a long time since I've read it, but I remember not loving it. Not only as I thought I would, but I thought I should, right? Because there's always that, like, that rep sweats type of anxiety. But, I love that this is happening. Like, in the world where Fresh Out the Book can exist, the drama version of that can also exist.
Yeah. You know? I mean, like, I think I totally missed the Joliet Club train because the book was published before I was born. Mm. And the movie came out, like, I think a couple months before I came to the United States.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole Asian American experience hadn't, like...
It's also very Chinese American.
Yeah, like, very Chinese American, too.
Story.
So,
yeah.
Like, I don't really relate. Also, like, the generation's different. So,
yeah.
It's like, oh, our struggles are totally different now. So, I wouldn't... If I picked it up now and read it, I'm not sure if I would be able to relate to it as...
Yeah, the relationships and the relationships and the source material is due for a modern update, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
And hopefully that's what this is. That's what I'm hoping it is, too.
I kind of want to see a documentary about how the movie got made and like the social impact of the film and the book.
Well, I mean, for a Asian American directed, you know, it was directed by a Chinese American dude, and the main cast were all Asian American women, for that movie to be made in 1993, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a story by itself. Like, they should make I would definitely watch a documentary about that.
Next on our news is Simon Pulse bought Cindy Pond's sci-fi novel Ruse, which is a sequel to Want, which we, described in our new releases section.
Oh, so they, like, picked it up right after.
Yeah, they picked it right up. And the book is slated for a spring 2019 release.
Cool.
So you don't have to wait very long.
To the Taiwan. Heist. Sci-fi Taiwan heist
Taipei,
movie.
Taipei. Yeah.
Taipei, Taiwan.
Yeah.
Same country. In a 3-book deal, Sky Pony acquires Sangu Magdana's A Spark of White trilogy, described as a multicultural YA space opera inspired by the Sanskrit epic The Mahabharata. The novel follows a cursed and forgotten child of an empire's queen who finds herself on the wrong side of a war that could destroy kingdoms across the galaxy. The first book is set for fall 2018. That's cool. I'm always down for more space and Asians in space.
Speaking of Asians in space, you heard about Cowboy Bebop, right?
I did.
Oh my god, no.
Like, I'm actually okay with it.
I am not. I am so not okay with it. I mean, I think I would have been okay with it before Ghost in the Shell happened, but because Ghost
That's
in the Shell
true,
happened,
but Ghost,
I do not trust
I
them.
Do. I also, like... For me, Ghost in the Shell was a problem because they tried to keep too much to the source material, which is set in Japan, is a very Japanese story. Cowboy Bebop has always been a multicultural story, I felt like.
Yeah, but...
It's a mix of, like, American music with, like, a cowboy in space and bounty hunters. And, like, you know, Spike Spiegel is, like, you know, that could be a white dude.
I mean, could, but in the canon, he's like part of a Chinese Hong Kong mafia
triad. But like in the future, thing. I feel like in the future.
Also, if they cast Faye as like a white lady, I'm gonna be so furious, throw a table at someone.
That's true. I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna withhold judgment until I see visually how much they ruin it. But on face value, I think Cowboy Bebop is a. I think I just miss having a. Like a space opera about rogue outlaws in space. I miss having a Firefly series on the air. And The Expanse is in hiatus until next season. So I need more.
I don't know. I don't trust. I trust no one. Heath Hardage Lee's The League of Wives, a true story of survival and rescue from the Vietnam home front, was bought by St. Martin's Press at an auction. The book follows four Vietnam era women through their incredible transformation from conservative wives to covert spies, national lobbyists, and international human rights figures, all to save the lives of their prisoner of war husbands and those missing in action. A lot of Vietnam War books coming out.
I don't want to say trend.
It's not a trend, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, you know, our May Pick, yeah. The Sympathizer, has proven that these stories resonate and people want to know. So, and they're like, they're so relevant to today's world. De La Court acquired Ashok Banker's The Rise trilogy in a seven-figure preempt. The series was pitched as Six of Crows meets An Ember in the Ashes, with a cast featuring LGBTQIA people of color and differently abled protagonists. The story follows a young thief and her gang as they battle to overthrow a brutal tyrant and stay a demon invasion. The book is expected to release in fall 2018.
So Ashok Banker is a very famous Indian novelist. He's also a screenwriter. And I think he's credited to making like the ebook marketplace a thing in India. Okay. So he's written like a lot of books and the most
so he's
famous.
Like they're indie guy.
Yeah. And, yeah. And his like most famous series is based on Indian mythology, and that's become its own genre in Indian publishing. So he's a very big name over there.
Yeah.
So yeah, seven figure preempt.
That's a lot of figures. I mean, is that in US dollars?
Yes.
Nice. Get paid, dude. Sounds like he's
making bank.
Yeah, it
like
sounds
his
like
last
he's
name, Banker.
It's it sounds like he's making an effort to be super inclusive in his story, in terms of people of color, people of different gender orientations, and people of different ability levels, which is admirable. I didn't understand what Six of Crows and Ember and Ashes
Six
mean.
Six of Crows is like a. I wouldn't even say YA because I think it's a little bit more challenging than YA, but it's like a fantasy. It's a very long fantasy book.
Okay.
But it's very good. So the fact that it's been pitched as like some kind of version of that, it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Next we have Soho Press bought World English Rights to Gina Apostle's The Unintended. The book explores the lives of two women, an American filmmaker, and a Filipino-American translator, and how they develop competition narratives of a massacre that took place during the Philippine-American War, which took place between 1899 and 1902. So that is a book that
is that
got
a,
picked up.
Is that nonfiction?
It does not sound like a nonfiction book.
Okay.
But that is all I got from gleaning from the internet. So
yeah. I mean,
it sounds like a fiction. It sounds like a literary fiction novel.
So. Yeah, but it's super relevant because it has to do with, again, like The Sympathizer, about how the same event can be interpreted in different ways. People want these stories, man. Dutton picked up Melinda Lowe's newest YA novel Last Night at the Telegraph Club. Set in 1950s San Francisco, the novel explores the complicated overlap between the city's Chinese American and LGBTQ communities. The book is slated for a 2019 release.
Okay, so Melinda Lowe, you've probably heard of Melinda Lowe. She's kind of like a big deal in.
I've never heard of her.
She wrote She wrote Ash, which is a retelling of Cinderella, and it's with a lesbian pairing. Okay. She's been a strong advocate for LGBTQIA characters in literature and also diversity in literature. I think she's the co-founder of Diversity in YA.
Okay.
So, she's been at this for a very long time, and she's written a lot of books.
That's cool. I love this time period because it's where like a lot of like noir, hard-boiled noir, like detective fiction is set, and the name lends itself to that. But I'm not sure if that's what it is. But sounds interesting.
Yeah, I love me some 1950s noir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next we have Erin Entrada Kelly sold two books to Green Willow Books. The first is Kelly's debut fantasy novel, The Girl with Golden Feet, which is inspired by Filipino folklore and is about a 12-year-old girl who must fight unavenged spirits, shark-finned mermaids, hills made of horns, and a vicious bird woman with only a single bag of salt as a weapon. The second book is an untitled historical novel based on the 1986 Challenger disaster. Ooh. And the books will be published in spring 2019 and spring 2020, respectively.
Nice. Congrats to Erin. That's awesome. Last up is Audible announced that it will create a $5 million fund to commission one or two person audio plays from emerging playwrights. Grant recipients will be recommended by an advisory board made up of theater industry insiders, including award-winning playwright Lynn Nottage, Tom Stoppard, and David Henry Huang.
So this is pretty cool because we are seeing literature in like a new form, I guess. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, like audiobooks has always been a thing, but to have like audio plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going back to like the radio plays back in like.
Which is something that it's always like whenever I go to readings, I'm like, they can like record this and it can be like a radio play or like a podcast or something. I always go to podcasts because that's where my brain lives. But I know in theater, it's all about rights of all the works and stuff. So it gets complicated there. But that's really cool that Audible is exploring it.
Yeah. And it's great that they're actually giving writers money. I always like the fact that companies give artists money to actually make things instead of being like, make us things and we will pay you money afterward.
I mean, it's going back to the whole like patron system of like the Renaissance, right? Like, you know, painters and artists back then were able to paint for a living because they had rich dudes saying, here's like a gajillion dollars, make me art for my gallery or for my home. Yeah.
I mean, it's nice that there's a grant for the arts during this dark timeline.
For now. We'll see about the budget.
I didn't write this. I didn't include this in our notes, but did you hear that George R.R. Martin is writing 5 spin-off shows to Game of Thrones?
I heard there were going to be 5 spin-off shows.
Yeah, it's 5 spin-off shows, and they're all prequels, I think.
What? I feel like he should finish what he started first.
Yeah, a lot of his fans are complaining that because it's been a long hiatus since the last book.
Well, I mean, even the show has kind of gone off on its own, and like I feel the longer he allows that to happen, the more the show's canon will become everyone's head canon.
Yeah, right? I mean, the show changed a lot of things from the original storyline, and I don't know, like. I mean, I'm a writer too, so I get it. Like, I think he should just take all the time he needs to finish his book. If that means like working on other things to help him like get through this like period where he needs to finish this book.
I guess. I feel like why not just do something original? Like, he's obviously super creative. He can create like political dramas in his head. Like, I heard that the showrunners of Game of Thrones, like their next project is a version of the Wu Zetian legend, which is one of China's only, not one of their only female emperors, but one of the only ones that started her own dynasty.
I think I've heard about this. Yeah.
Very popular soap opera series in China. Yeah. It's actually how Fan Bingbing became famous, the most famous Chinese actress.
I just thought that was interesting. I mean, I'm a Game of Thrones fan, both book and show-wise. But I'm excited because the show's coming back. But I don't know if I'll watch the prequel spinoffs because I really don't like prequels. I abhor them so much.
We don't have time to get into Game of Thrones.
No.
Talk on this podcast. But if you do want to talk about it, you can start a forum thread on our Goodreads forum or at Rira on Twitter at Rira Boo. And she'll be happy to debate you for hours.
No, not hours. I don't love Game of Thrones that much, but...
And on that note, thanks for listening to this new and new release episode of Books and Boba. We'll be back again later this month, hopefully with some author interviews. And don't forget to check back at the end of the month for a book club discussion on our June pick, which is None of the Above by I.W. Gregorio. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. And this episode of Books and Boba was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu and edited by Marvin Yue. Don't forget, you can purchase your monthly Books and Boba book pick as well as other books mentioned on the podcast by going to the Books and Boba bookstore at bit.ly/bobabooks. Books and Boba is a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a collective of podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian American community. At the Potluck, you can find other great programs such as Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, hosts Taz Ahmed and Zara Nurbash define what it means to be a good and bad American Muslim, and poke fun at both sides of the margin. Check out Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, and the other great programs of the Potluck Podcast Collective by going to www.podcastpotluck.com.